Hi, this is Pastor Patrick of Calvary Chapel, Wichita. I pray that the Lord will richly bless you as you listen to this message.
If you have a Bible, please open to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And the title of this morning's message is Benefits of the Resurrection. Benefits of the Resurrection. So I've been recently conducting a lot of research around online marketing. And all of these marketing guru websites and blogs point out that people want to know the proverbial question, what is in it for me? So from a pure marketing standpoint, they want to make sales of their products and services, and that's fair enough. And they think that their best way to achieve their goal is to address that question, what is in it for me, for the prospective buyer in hopes to land that sale. So I started thinking, since we just celebrated the resurrection, I wanted to apply that question, what is in it for me, to the resurrection, which led me to the statement, how does the resurrection benefit me? Or simply, benefits of the resurrection, which is the title. So this morning, I'm going to take a look at four things. The cause in verse 3 to 4. The logic in verses 20 to 22, the effect in verses 42 to 45, and the benefits in verses 50 to 57. So those are the 4 points. So as we look down to verse 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3, we'll take a look at that, the cause. The text says, "For I delivered to you first of all that which I received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures." So first off, what does cause and effect mean? A dictionary definition says this: cause and effect is a relationship between events or things where one is the result of the other. This is a combination of action and reaction. So let me give you some examples of cause and effect. First one, because you forgot to set the alarm this morning, you were late to church. Well, everyone is here, so that didn't apply. Secondly, when I ask Google, I'm going to ask a question to Google, and that's the cause, and the answer is going to be the effect. Okay, Google, where is Jesus?
According to GodQuestions.org, answer, according to Mark 16:19 and 1 Peter 3:22, Jesus is in heaven right now at the right hand of God the Father. Luke 24:51 and Acts 1-9-11 describe the bodily ascension of Jesus, which occurred 40 days after his resurrection.
So obviously even Google knows that Jesus died and rose again and sits at the right hand of the Father. Amen. Well, the Bible is filled with cause and effect statements like this. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 7, we see the great example. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. That's a cause and effect. Or like this one, when you pray, O Lord, please send your showers from heaven. The result? A flood. Cause and effect. But in complex systems, cause and effect are often distant in time and space. In complex systems, cause and effect are often distant time and space. A perfect example of this is that on this day, April 19th, 1775, the American Revolutionary War began with an American victory in Concord during the Battle of Lexington and Concord. The American Revolutionary War was fought for the rights and freedom of religion and not to be ruled by a foreign king, amongst other reasons like taxation without representation. So as a result of that Revolutionary War, we today are able to practice our religion freely. We are free to practice our religion as we wish without the intervention or interference of government. And that's an example of cause and effect. So when we look at verses 3 and 4 in 1 Corinthians 15, we see that Jesus entered into a cause, an action, an event, with both an immediate and a distant effect, action, and result. The cause is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Now, what was the purpose for this cause, this action, or this event? It is this: we cannot save ourselves because we are incapable of fixing ourselves. We are broken when we are in sin, when we are in unrighteousness. It is like the old nursery rhyme, Humpty Dumpty. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty together again. The point is that you cannot fix yourself if you are broken, if you are in sin, if you are unrighteous before God. You cannot fix yourself. If you have the great Kraggle gun from the Lego movie, you still couldn't fix yourself. And some of you are thinking, well, what in the world is that? For those of you who are wondering this, it is crazy glue. Either crazy glue or super glue is not powerful enough to put you back together again from a broken life, from sin, and from transgression against God. You might be able to cover it up and make it look pretty on the outside, but you will still be broken and cracked on the inside, and only God can heal a broken heart. So I want to tell you something that you probably have never heard before. You are incapable of raising yourself from the dead. No way. Way. Think about this. If Adam was walking in the Garden of Eden, and before he ate the forbidden fruit, so he was still in his perfect state, he's walking in the garden, and a monkey in a tree was eating a banana, throws the banana peel down, and Adam is walking and doesn't see the banana peel and steps on the banana peel, slips, cracks his head, and dies. Even in his perfect state, he could not raise himself from the dead. This event requires outside intervention, and one that is not natural. It requires a supernatural intervention, namely God. A couple of weeks ago, when I was sitting in service, I noticed that the children nursery sign up here on the left-hand corner, the black sign, little digital board, it was flashing. And so I thought, man, that thing is freaking out. What's going on? And being in IT, freaking out is the IT term. So I got up from my seat and went to the kitchen to go look at the panel that controlled the board there. And several others asked me if I knew how to fix it. I immediately reached up, unplugged the power cord, and plugged it back in. Done. So I had to go to college to get an IT degree to learn how to turn it off and turn it back on again. So this event required outside intervention and one that is not natural. And it required an intervention of knowledge. Whether that knowledge is great or little is irrelevant. It still required outside intervention. Everyone has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. And all of us deserve his wrath, God's wrath and punishment. God, in his infinite grace and mercy, has provided a way that his wrath can be appeased and we can be reconciled to God. That way is through the sacrificial death of his son Jesus and the atonement or payment for sins. It is through faith in Christ alone as the atonement for the payment of our sins. It is through faith in Christ and his perfect sacrifice foretold in the Old Testament and fulfilled in the New Testament that we can be reconciled to God. It is only because of Christ's perfect life, his death on the cross, and his resurrection on the third day that a lost sinner like myself, deserving of hell, can be reconciled to a holy God. The wonderful truth of the gospel message is that Christians are saved from God's wrath and reconciled to God, not because we loved him, 1 John 4:10, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. The word propitiation means substitute. God loves you that much. The cause of this event is Jesus dying on the cross, being buried and rising again on the third day. So that was a cause. Now let's take a look at the logic. Verses 20 to 22. The logic. Verse 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20. The text says, "But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive." So the logic is this: you cannot have a resurrection without a death. We're all going to die someday. In fact, the latest scientific research shows that 100% of the people on the face of this earth who have drunk water will eventually die. I know it's a startling fact, but it brings a stark realization that everyone who has ever lived must wrestle with this truth. And someday you are going to pass away. And when you do, do you have the assurance that you will be resurrected to eternal life with God in heaven? In fact, you cannot have that assurance of eternal security until you first experience a spiritual death and rebirth. At our Maze Home Bible study on Friday nights, we've been discussing this very same concept in John chapter 3, verses 1 to 8. And if you have a Bible and you want to turn there, you can follow along. John chapter 3, verse 1 to 8. John chapter 3, verse 1 to 8. The Bible says, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him.'" Verse 3, "Jesus answered and said to him, 'Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.' Verse 4, Nicodemus said to him, 'How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?' Verse 5, Jesus answered, 'Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said, you must be born again.'" Verse 8, "The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." So to place this into a logical sequence, it looks like this. Sin came through Adam at the garden and was inherited by you and me. God promised to send a Savior into the world, and God sent his son Jesus, his only son, to be that savior. Jesus lived a perfect life so he could be the perfect sacrifice of sin for you and I. And those who realize and accept that they cannot save themselves, they cannot fix themselves, they cannot raise themselves from the dead, thereby dying to their flesh, dying to their pride, dying to their intellect, putting their trust and faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross, will receive the benefits of Christ's resurrection. In fact, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4 says this, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you." That's the logic. Now let's take a look at the effect. Verses 42 to 45, the effect. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 42. Turn back there. Verse 42, the text reads, "So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown in natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written," verse 45, "the first man, Adam, became a living being, and the last Adam became a life-giving spirit," meaning Jesus. So the cause of the resurrection was that we were unable to pay for our own sins. So Jesus did it for us. He paid for our sins, which required his death according to the scriptures, and rose again from the dead 3 days later, proving that he has power and authority over life and death. Now, the effect of the resurrection is that those who have accepted Jesus Christ as Savior will also be resurrected from the dead into eternal life with God, wearing new spiritual bodies. And I remember Pastor Patrick talking either Wednesday or Sunday, how when he wakes up in the morning, his body is aching. Well, I'm at that age, and I agree. I'm starting to feel that too, and I'm looking forward to this new body. So finally, let's take a look at the benefits, verses 50 to 57, the benefits. So what's in it for me? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50. "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." Verse 52, "In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall it be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." So after looking at the cause, the logic, and the effect of the resurrection, what are the benefits? What is in it for me? Four benefits of the resurrection. Four benefits of the resurrection. The first is the proof of salvation. It is the proof of salvation. The resurrection validated the claims of Jesus and provided ultimate credibility to his person. Because of the resurrection offers such great proof, we can believe his message and have absolute assurance of our eternal life in heaven. The second benefit of the resurrection is power over sin. Paul lamented that man, minus the power of God, has no hope of living a spiritual victory life. Indeed, power over sin in our own strength is assuredly an exercise in futility. In fact, what do they call insanity when you try to do the same thing over and over and expect a different result? That is exercise in futility, trying to be victorious over sin in your own power. That is insanity. But the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, the new life he provided to believers, enables us to have and live in that victory over the enslaving power of the sinful flesh as we reckon ourselves to be alive unto God through Jesus Christ. For the believer, power over sin is a bona fide possibility that is effectual by faith in Christ. Thirdly is the purpose of serving. The third benefit of the resurrection is a purpose of serving. Think about this. Because of the resurrection life in Christ, we are connected with the Lord by his Spirit, which indwells us. We are partakers of his divine nature. The resurrection means that Christ is with us, is with me, and will never leave me. And the Bible says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, said Jesus. God is with me. So through this whole life, I know his presence is helping me through it, even when I break it. It means that I have context for my life. It's not about 50 or 60 or 70 years of this life. It's about an eternity living my life with God in heaven. Fourthly is the promise of security. The promise of security, the fourth benefit of the resurrection. Based upon the fact that Jesus died and rose from the dead, we who trust him will rise too. God assures us of this by his teachings on first fruits. The earliest ripened fruit, the vegetable or grain, serves as a harbinger of the main harvest to come. Christ arose and provided the sure hope that in him we can all have confidence and hope of a glorified body. So the resurrection of Jesus, when I ask, what is in it for me, I see four benefits: the proof of salvation, the power over sin, the purpose for serving, and the promise of security. So the resurrection is the cause, but the effect is a new body to use in eternity, and it doesn't have an expiration date. But here's the key. This is how you can receive those benefits. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, the Bible says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's how you can receive those benefits. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for your word and looking at these benefits, Lord. And as I ask, well, what's in it for me? And I say, everything, all that you have, Lord, all of eternity, to spend all of eternity with you in heaven and to be with my Lord and Savior, Jesus. That is everything. That's all that I need. Lord, those benefits are far greater than I can possibly imagine. So thank you for dying on the cross in my place, and rising again on the third day, proving that you have power and authority to conquer sin and death, and proving that when you say, I will rise again on the third day, I can have assurance that that will come true, because you kept your word and you kept your promise and you proved it. So Lord, thank you for your sacrifice and thank you for your love when I didn't deserve it. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope the Lord has spoken to you through his word today. If you've got questions or comments about this message, we'd love to hear from you. And if you're in the Wichita area and don't have a church that you call home, I hope you'll drop by and check us out. You can always get current service times and directions at area code 316-263-3804 or online at www.ccwichita.org. Most importantly, though, please remember, God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. We've all sinned. We've all rebelled against God. And the penalty for that sin is eternal death. But God, in his mercy, sent Jesus to pay that price, to die that death for us. That's why Jesus went to the cross 2,000 years ago. He died so we wouldn't have to. And he rose again in glory, promising eternal life with him forever for those who put their trust in him. So if you haven't decided what to do with the cross, why not say yes to Christ's free gift of salvation right now? You can do it wherever you are simply by praying, Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. I confess I am a sinner, and I need your free gift of salvation. Jesus, please come into my life. Be my Savior and be my Lord. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. The scripture tells us if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, then you are his. So pick up a Bible and start reading. Begin at the Gospel of John to understand and rejoice in everything it means to be a child of God. If you're in the Wichita area, I hope that you'll stop by. We'll make sure you have a Bible along with some materials to help you begin your walk with the Lord. If you're not close by, feel free to give us a call. We'll be glad to help you find a solid Bible teaching church in your area. Thanks again for listening. May the Lord richly bless you as you commit your ways to Him.